Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin AC, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, my boss, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, the Arizona Diamondbacks are coming to town. That's something we've been waiting for a long time. We finally got past that Dodgers series.
Now we give the fans really what they want. A three-game weekend series with Arizona, which is just beyond awful. Should give a quick shout out to our intern, Kevin Reynolds. I know you like his first name. I think that's why he got hired. Writing some plenty of stuff for us this summer, including statistical stuff on the Padres at the start of every series. But today we had him write about just how bad the Diamondbacks are. And so check that out online. And we even put it in the paper today. And the bottom line is they're really bad. They're historically bad. They've lost 36 of their last 40 games bad. And doesn't mean they can't come in here this weekend, win two out of three, but they haven't done it to anybody in a long time, so we'll see. But, you know, Merrill Kelly, I know, pitches tomorrow. At times have struggled against him. Zach Gallen is a good pitcher on Sunday, so we'll see what happens. But certainly, Kevin, the Padres are on a roll. Ever since Petco Park opened up full capacity, Padres are 7-0. Somebody should have thought of this sooner.
Dang, California, man, they never would have gone into that funk and people would have been, you know, jumping off the bandwagon. And man. Yeah. And by the way you started, it reminded me that we do have to shout out the crowds. I mean, look, the Padres are 7-0 on this homestand because, oh my goodness, they're hitting the ball out of the park. It's like Clayton Kershaw said, it's not like they were crushing, other than Julio Urias, it's not like they were crushing Kershaw or Bauer, except for when they were crushing them. They were hitting the ball out of the park when they got hit. And their pitching has maintained, especially their starting pitching, has been really good. Their defense, phenomenal. And so that's why they're winning. But you know what? Three weekday sellouts, even with the Dodgers here, even with 20 to maybe 25% on that last night being Dodgers fans, that's impressive. And they were into it. And it was exciting. Hey, it was exciting for the Red series. This is an absolutely fantastic atmosphere.
Well, the dog is certainly excited.
Well, we have so much going on at my house today. We got so much going on at my house today. This dog is losing its mind. It's I don't have any idea what's going on. I can't even talk to her anymore.
But anyway, the crowds, I was there Tuesday and Wednesday in the crowd. And a couple things I noticed. One, how, as you said, people are really into the games.
Yes.
Except for when, of course, by the sixth inning, people get bored and have to do the wave, which I'll never understand, but whatever.
Jay, come on. Now, let's do a sidebar. If fans enjoy it, but what is the media's problem with the wave? If fans enjoy it.
I'm not talking as a media member. I'm talking as a fan. I wasn't there as a media member. I'm talking as a fan. I don't – put it this way. I don't get it. I'll just leave it at that. I don't get it. A lot of things I don't get. That is one I do not.
Okay, if you're going to go as a fan and that's going to be your opinion, I have to respect it. I don't understand why the media. I don't understand why the media hates the wave so much. Anyway, go on, Jay.
Paying customer, I can express my opinion about that and about the video board. The other thing about the fans was they did not leave early.
Yes,
and that applies. Fans.
Impressive.
I mean, I know about, Dodger Stadium fans leave early. You know what? Petco Park fans usually leave early, too. But at this particular moment in time, the two games where I was on Tuesday and Wednesday, I mean, it was almost as full. And I'm not saying some people didn't leave because, I mean, and people have legitimate reasons for leaving. I mean, the game ended at 10:40 on Wednesday night. That's a little late. Another reason to have 6:40 starting times. We'll go on about that.
You're right. Very impressive.
But the fans stayed until the end of the game. And, you know, of course, they knew that Mark Melancon was going to walk the tightrope both of those nights, Tuesday and Wednesday, and got bailed out with a couple of good defensive plays. Will Myers on Tuesday, Manny Machado with his, you know, 86th and 87th great plays of the week on Wednesday. You wrote about that today as defense. But anyway, you're right. The fans were great, and they stayed till the end, and they were loud, and they were loud at the right times. And it was fun. I don't know what this weekend will be like.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't think it would be quite as intense against the Diamondbacks, but who knows? I mean, the Padres have won 7 in a row, and if they've already had one 9-game winning streak this season. So I'm sure the people will be into it if that happens. And I think, I know there's a giveaway on Saturday night and kids stuff on Sunday. So I would expect and hope that the crowds would be large again this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you this, for the Padres' sake, I hope that fans still want to come out to watch them win and you know, despite who they're playing, because over the next 50 games, they have two home games against the team that currently has a winning record, and it's the Oakland A's. In their next 50 games, their 50 games overall, they have seven games against teams that currently have winning records. So I hope wins excite you versus just, you know, who the opponent is. And I'm being somewhat facetious. I think they do. This crowd, whatever it is, if the Padres are up 9-0, this crowd will be bloodthirsty for them to go up 12-0. That's not.
And then they could do at 9-0.
Okay, so it's a timing thing that I can partially understand. There was those one the close. Other night I thought was odd. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like right in the middle of this tight, intense game, two rivals. And it's like, okay, let's do the win. But anyway, so it was, you know, as you mentioned why the Padres were winning. I mentioned Machado, who's been hot offensively, but especially defensively. Jake Cronenworth, same way, especially offensively. I mean, three straight home runs against Urias, Kershaw, and Bauer. So a tremendous series for him. I mentioned the Will Myers play. Fernando Tatis struggling at times, but you know, such a danger when he comes up. Tommy Pham continues to get on base. Trent Grisham struggling since he's been coming back, but I guess understandable after being away. And the Padres pitching, as you mentioned, was outstanding. They did not allow more than three runs in any of the three games against the Dodgers, who have a, you know, pretty good offense. I mean, I know, you know, there was no Muncy and Bellinger one night. There was no Bellinger one night. There was no Mookie one night. But, you know, look, teams are going to struggle. The Dodgers are still, we're still entered the series second in Major League Baseball in runs scored. And the Padres, you know, shut them down three games in a row.
It does, you know, look, the Padres have been without guys. I don't know that they've been without Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, you know, but
Corey Seager,
Corey Seager. Yes.
Yeah.
There were some moments where you said, oh, this guy would be up now. And it's not. Yeah. And hey, whatever. There's times where other teams didn't have to face Fernando Tatis Jr. or, you know, Trent Grisham. So,
or
Manny Machado for 7 days. So,
right. So it's the same thing. I mean, it's funny, Matt Beatty in right field, they were all talking after that the game. Oh, Mookie would have made that play late in the game. Matt Beatty made a tremendous play earlier in the game, much tougher ball, and then that one was easier, and he kind of muffed it. But you know, that happens. It's a long season. You're going to have games where you got to have your. We've talked before. You're going to have bench guys, you know, step up for you, and the Dodgers have had that for most of the year. But the Padres are 7-3 against the Dodgers this year. You know, should not lose that fact. That's happened, and I believe the Dodgers won the first two. So the Padres have won, what is it now, 7 out of 8 against the Dodgers, who they won't see for two months now. Which it's such a letdown that you know, that we went 2 months without seeing Padres Dodgers. We got three games, and now we go another 2 months.
That was the 50-game mark that I was talking about. I just happened to, you know, it's not like I picked 50 games. I was like, oh, Dodgers next. Okay, well, who do they play? Holy smokes, this is going to be incredible with a lot of time off, too. You got the All-Star break. You've got, you know, the schedule normalizes for the Padres here. So I think it's an important time of the season. I have not looked and seen who the Giants have played and who they play coming up. But, I mean, this is an opportunity for the Padres. This is an opportunity.
I think the Giants and Dodgers actually play each other this next week. I'm not sure which ballpark, but they play each other. The Giants, I believe, have some tougher games coming up. And then again, it's really kind of hard to tell in the National League. There aren't a lot of great teams in the National League right now. I mean, the Cubs aren't even trying to win this year, or at least they weren't. And they're
6 over or something?
42-33. Well, that doesn't. It might even be 43. And they're in first place in the Central, along with Milwaukee, through a combined no hitter last night against the Dodgers, who clearly could not get over the sweep. at the hands of the Padres. We saw that the Padres will have Paddock and Lamet and Darvish pitching against Arizona, which means that Blake Snell will not pitch at Petco, where he has been really, really good this year. And it means his next start
is in a bandbox. Come
in a bandbox in Cincinnati. So that will be something that we can talk about on Tuesday when you get there, and we'll set up that.
This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Are you waiting for a great reason to buy a new car? How about because, baseball? So what is a great opening day special? How about 0% APR for 48 months on new 2021 Ram 1500s, Dodge Chargers, Jeep Compass, and Jeep Grand Cherokees? That's a great reason and a great deal. But do you also need a great place? That's easy. Come to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Ram Spotlight Sales Event.
This weekend is big. We also find out on Sunday about the All-Star voting, which I didn't think it was possible for Major League Baseball to mess up the All-Star game any more than it has. And yet they've messed up the voting, and they messed up the uniforms, as I'm sure people saw, and put those uniforms out there. One of the great things about the All-Star game was every guy wore his uniform, and you got to see all the uniforms. And sometimes that wasn't always so great with the Padres, but now here are the Padres with these, you know, shiny new uniforms that they have yet to show off at an All-Star game. And Fernando Tatis and whoever else has to go out there wearing this. I don't even know what is that they came up with.
Team USA?
Something like that. Those are just terrible. And the voting, it used to be you did, and I don't know when this changed because I've rarely paid attention to it, but the voting has this phase one and phase two now. So Fernando Tatis Jr. has all these votes. He'd be well on his way to starting for the National League, the first Padre that would be voted in to start since Tony Gwynn back in 99. But the voting starts over again on Sunday. Three guys, it'll be him and Baez, and I can't remember who's in third, and he starts at zero. So it's like all these people who have been voting, probably 7, 8, 10 million people who have cast ballots for Tatis, their votes are basically just tossed out the window, and everything starts anew. And so Padre fans will have to vote again to get Tatis into the starting lineup. And he clearly deserves to start. And you wrote in your newsletter today, you made the case for Jake Cronenworth as another guy who won't start, won't get a chance to start, but certainly belongs on the team.
I think that's probably where it ends. And I think it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, it's funny. Like it's sort of like the other day I was talking to Will Myers about how they finish against the Dodgers and the Giants. They play the Dodgers and Giants 19 times in the final 35 games of the season. And he's like, yeah, I think we've done that before. It's just none of us cared, right? it matters now because they're right. No, but he didn't say use the word care. He just, he said something else and it was probably worse. It's the All-Star game. It's like, you know what? Something that like is happening to Jake Cronenworth where there's a danger he won't even go to the All-Star game and he has zero chance to start because of the fan voting. That happens every single year to a couple guys where the best players are left out. But it doesn't happen to Padres position players because they're not the guys. And this year, Jake Cronenworth darn well deserves to at least be, in the discussion for starting. But whatever. I don't see how his peers or Major League Baseball, if he continues to play over the next several days, I don't see how his peers or Major League Baseball don't put him in Colorado. He is up there as the leader or one of the leaders, and I think he's on his way to possibly a gold glove as well. Truly one of the – gosh – And the other thing, you speak about the fans, he's turning into a fan favorite, and not just like when he comes up for, or hits a home run. I've seen more Cronenworth jerseys, Cronenworth signs. And that's kind of cool because, like, what's he done except play really good baseball,
Right, right. Yeah, and talk about a guy that, like, we all knew Fernando Tatis was coming up through the system. Yeah. People knew who Manny Machado was when he got to the Padres. Jake Cronenworth was literally, at least to all of us, he was like a throw-in in the Tommy Pham deal. It was Tommy Pham, and the Padres gave up Hunter Renfro, and then they traded these minor league guys was Xavier Edwards, I think, went to Tampa, and the Padres got back, to quote AJ Pollock, that Cronenworth guy. And nobody knew who this guy was. And he has become a favorite because of how he's performed.
Yes.
And he does seem to have, and there's a little bit of, he's got a little bit of swag to him as well, in sort of a kind of a down home Michigan
Midwest kind hockey of, player kind of way.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so it's worked out great for him. I know Jeff Sanders was talking about writing tonight about some of the other chances for guys to be considered for the All-Star game.
There.
Yeah. I mean, Darvish, you would think would be a strong candidate. Joe numbers, if you take away his win-loss record, I was looking at the scoreboard when he was pitching the other night, and I think at one point it was something like 100 strikeouts and 17 walks, or maybe it's even more strikeouts than that, but it was a remarkable number in his ERA. I think it went from 2.2 to 2.3, when he gave up the one earned run the
other
night.
And he got out of it, and it's 2.22 now. So
okay. Yeah. So he's been excellent, and he'll have I guess two more starts probably before the teams are announced. And I do think, look, not everybody who deserves to go to the All-Star game right. goes to the All-Star game. I have never been one of those people that gets all, worked up about it.
But it's now interesting for us.
It's interesting for us. And I do think that the idea about what they do with the voting is worth. I mean, if you're going to have the fans vote, then let the fans vote. Don't just sort of stop the voting and say, oh, okay, we're going to start over again. To create more interest.
Jay, I just think about this is how far we've come, right? I should have wrote about this in the newsletter too. Like my first 2 years back doing baseball, right? And I'm covering the Padres. And so the first year is like, what's the big deal? Well, okay, Brad Hand's going to go because, the Padres send a closer every year because that's what you do when you stink. but it was like this, oh, it's Kirby Yates. Kirby Yates deserves to go. He's been great as a setup guy. and like that's what we were concerned about the first couple of years. So it is kind of neat to actually be a little bit, have a little angst about which Padres are going to be in the All-Star game.
right. And I think it'll be fun for fans and certainly be fun for fans on Twitter to be able to go crazy about the people who do get left out. So anyway, did we have anything else that we needed?
They're playing the Diamondbacks, Jay. Come on now.
we wrote a lot about the Dodgers sweep, and it was big. And the thing is, as we mentioned, now's the time to keep that going. Where I almost said momentum, but I wouldn't do that. But they need to keep on a roll here with the schedule the way that it is. And as we know, some of those teams that they play are going to be playing well.
Yep.
At the time, but the Reds and the Dodgers came in here and were playing well also. So should be another fun weekend, three games out there before the Padres go on the road for a week. So we hope everybody enjoys the weekend, gets out to the ballpark to see a game in person. If you haven't had the chance yet, it's a lot different than you might remember. The games actually matter now and people care and are into the game. And I got to say, it's fun to be out there.
That's really cool you say that, guy. People, that's an endorsement. Jay goes to a lot of games as a fan, sits among the people. And, from my perch, I absolutely agree. But for Jay to say that after all these years, I mean, if you haven't been, honestly, we're not selling anything for the Padres. But Jay's shaking his head if you're not watching this.
Not at all. I just,
but
like
it's
said,
about enjoying it.
Right. And I went for years because I enjoyed baseball. I didn't, the Padres were crappy, but it wasn't why I went to games.
Yes.
Was whether the Padres were good or not. But if you've been waiting to go to a game because you wanted the Padres to be good, now they're good. And it is as fun as you probably thought that it would be if the Padres ever got good.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us.